just the relationships that we made and going to dinners every night and eating with 30 people in a room as big as my bedroom, which is not very big. I miss that.
A local group of kids shares stories and tea from their month in Africa. And are you one of the many Alaskans holding down multiple jobs? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Chances are either you or one of your next-door neighbors has more than one job. Statistically, Alaska ranks as one of the top 10 states in the U.S. for workers with multiple places of employment.
Currently, Alaska is positioned 8th in terms of multiple job holding rate.
Tom Zhu is an economist for the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Last year, Alaska had 7.8% of the workforce working in two or more places. That's down from 8% in 2008, but still much higher than the national average of 5.2%. The Bureau explains that one of the reasons behind Alaska workers' high job holding numbers is the ease of finding a second job.
We find that is mainly the local occupational mix. It doesn't mean that a lot of people are out of jobs. It just means that oftentimes their skill set is applicable to another job, so they'll get the second job to keep up with living costs.
The Bureau also believes this statistic measures how people are handling more expensive living.
The reason why BLS puts resources into publishing the multiple job holding report each year is that there's been a growing interest in seeing how people are able to cope with rising costs in living. And as we've been seeing, prices have been increasing over the years, and what people often do is to supplement their incomes with a second job in order to keep up with expenses.
And that trend seems to become more prominent in times of recession, says Zhu.
Now we're about 2 years into one of the worst economic crises in recent history. We've got really high unemployment rates, and a lot of folks are out of jobs. Those who've lost their jobs that found new ones are very likely not to make as much as they did in the past, so finding that second job is really crucial in order to make ends meet.
Nevada had the lowest rate of laborers with more than one job at 3.7%, and the state with the most workers holding more than one job, South Dakota, at 10.3% of workers, followed by neighboring North Dakota with 9.8%. Then it was nearby Nebraska with 9.5%.
Well, there's several factors as to why a state may have higher multiple job holding percentage than, say, the national average. One reason is to look at the state's local occupational mix. If the local employment is highly concentrated in an industry where the worker's skill sets can be applied to other jobs, you'll find that more people are a lot willing to go out and look for that second job.
Zhu also says a high multiple job holding percentage might come from a state's unemployment rate. In July of this year, Alaska's rate was 7.9%, lower than the 9.5% national average. And, Zhu adds, companies lean toward hiring part-time workers in times of economic downturn.
What this implies is that there are more job opportunities in Alaska on average. Therefore, people may find it easier to get that second job. However, we do caution using the unemployment rate as an indicator for multiple job holding rates because it may imply two things. If it's lower, it might mean that people find it easier to get the second job, but when it's lower, it also means they might be less likely to find that second job because there's less unemployment. At the same time, if it's higher, that means more people out of jobs, and the ones who do find a job eventually are being paid less, so they need to find that second job in order to make ends meet. But at the same time, they may find it a lot harder to even find that second job.
Workers holding multiple jobs in Northern Lynn Canal communities shared reasons why they double up on work. Different employees said it was because of their multiple skills and interests. Some said a financial need or making the most of a short work season. Another said sparse job availability, and another a desire to build savings. You can find that full report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics at bls.gov. On Thursday night, the Skagway Planning Commission will publicly consider permitting two tourism ventures. Robert Murphy with Alaska Dog Sled Adventures submitted a request for a conditional use permit to operate a zip line tour and hiking tour on private property in Dyea. A second application from him requests a conditional use permit to operate a sled dog demonstration and educational facility, grizzly bear viewing, a restaurant, and offices. That location would be on the Klondike Highway next to Jewel Gardens. The municipal process requires a review by the Skagway Planning Commission and consideration of comments from residents, either in person at Thursday's meeting or in writing to the borough by noon Thursday. The Skagway Planning and Zoning Commission meets at 7 p.m. Thursday, August 12th, in Assembly Chambers at Skagway City Hall. The meeting will include an opportunity for public comments. A presentation in Haines this week is the next best thing to actually going to Africa. The get-together is Friday night at the Presbyterian Church in Haines, where 9 Haines residents from 4 different churches will show video, pictures, and tell stories from their nearly month-long trip to rural Africa. Participant Hunter Badgley says the group left the day school got out and took the next 3 days to travel halfway around the world to Kangundo, Kenya.
Which is a smaller village, somewhere between 10 to 30,000 people nobody really knows.
There were a lot of things the group didn't know before they got there, but as they landed in Nairobi, Jolene Lemieux and Hunter imagined what they might witness.
I thought there was going to be, like, colorful dresses, and I kind of had an idea that we were going to, like, build something. And at the airport, there was 3 or 4 young ladies that were, like, a part of a team. Like, they came to, like, say hi to us. They were all really excited.
They had a big sign that said Pastor Mark Hunter Badgley on the team, and they were holding that up, and they had been there since like 2 in the afternoon, and we got there at about like 10 or 11 at night, so they had just been sitting there waiting for hours.
The group was in Kenya for a mission trip that took years to plan and many hours of work to afford. Chaperone Al Badgley says they were in a place where laborers make $3 a day and a liter of gas costs $4.
They walk or ride a bicycle, or have 3 people on a bicycle. But they make use of every little thing. I mean, a wheelbarrow. They'll have a wheelbarrow that doesn't really have a wheel, but they still use it.
The group spent a lot of their time at the 15 different schools and various churches in the area, learning from the students as often as they taught lessons, like what snow and ice are.
You know, we showed some pictures of Alaska, and we had fish there. And I asked one group, how many of you have ever seen a fish? And over half the people had never seen a live fish. And, you know, it's a situation where you take for granted a lot of these things, but they, you know, if you're in a foreign area like that, certain things that you say, wow, can't believe that, is just normal business for them.
Their work there involved talking to locals, teaching at schools, and building various structures. They also met with a bishop who oversees more than 600 area churches in 4 countries.
And there's a little clip that he actually talks to the people of Haines about what people from around the world can do for the people in Kenya.
The group shot more than 22 hours of video and edited it down to highlights for Friday's presentation.
See them dancing? That's before the church service.
Yeah, they always do that. Every church service, they'll dance like this. I mean, this church didn't have all the walls. It had a roof and about half the walls, just made out of tin.
On Sunday morning, we preached a total of 11 times. We would go out to different churches because they have them all over the place. A lot of them are even within walking distance. And then after that, we would go out and pray for people. And very last minute and on the spot thinking about what you're going to say for this person who hasn't come to church in 2 years, or their husband just died or something. And you find out 2 minutes before you get to their door that you're going to be ministering to someone who has some totally different thing that you've never even heard of before.
The group built part of a building that contains a clinic, offices, and a Sunday school.
So the Sunday school's name is now what?
The Alaska House. And we named the clinic because we gave them money for the clinic, so they wanted to name that after something that they could remember us by, and we named it the Infinite Life Clinic, which is our youth group.
But as their near month in Africa went by, there was a lot they started to get attached to, Jillian says. In a town of at least 10,000 people, the 9 from Haines tripled the local white population.
We actually went to a school lot at DB, and there's this little girl, and her name is Immaculate. She spoke a lot of English, and so she was my translator most of the time. And she actually even wrote me a letter, so.
How many
trees you have. This is his farm here.
One stop was a coffee plantation where they met the owner's son and interviewed him.
What do we get in a year?
7,000.
And then what do you do with the trees? Do you have to do anything before next year? Do you have to fertilize them or anything?
Sure. We do spray chemicals.
The kids say they'll miss a lot of things about Kangundo, but have taken Kenyan experiences home to use as examples in their own lives.
They really value relationship there. All the elders of the church, they would get together every night and talk about the issues that are going on in the church. And when we were there, they would have us over for dinners, and each elder wanted us at their house to be welcomed to their house. So just the relationships that we made and going to dinners every night and eating with 30 people in a room as big as my bedroom, which is not very big. I miss that. And
I miss going to the schools and just being there for them, because some of them, like, their parents are split up or, like, they have issues or just being a friend to someone. I think it's definitely changed, like, my mind about the way that they live in Africa and the way we live here.
The Africa presentation will share video, pictures, stories, souvenirs, and tea from Kenya, Africa. It's at the Presbyterian Church in Haines on Friday, August 13th at 7 p.m. Everyone's invited. This is Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS.